When we talk about Advent and stuff like that, Advent primarily means the waiting for God. It's a time that we think about in the old Hebrew days when they were waiting for that first coming of the Messiah. And it's also a time when we now find ourselves waiting for the second coming of that Messiah. But what it really means, and the reason why we're waiting, is because we have hope. It's plain and simple. Hope is a word that is, if you search the Bible, you're going to find the word hope in the Bible many, many times. Almost as many times as you're going to hear the words, don't be afraid. And one of the things that don't be afraid came in the story of the first coming of Jesus was Mary. The angel Gabriel came and visited Mary. And we all know the story from our Christmas things, but I really like us to think about who Mary was. Who was Mary? What kind of person was she? Was she rich? Was she poor? She had blonde hair? She takes selfies a lot? We don't really know, do we? A lot of us don't really know exactly who Mary was. We know her name. We know, according to Scripture, that an angel Gabriel came and visited a young woman named Mary. Now, we can speculate, we can guess that she was probably a person that lived in poverty. She was probably somebody that was pretty young. But there's something that I really want to stress. She was probably pretty insignificant. The people in the Bible were very insignificant. They weren't these powerful people. God didn't say, I've got to go to them because they are the kings, they are the worthy ones, He came to people and met them where they were. That's very, very important whenever we talk about the biblical story, because when we do that, it's so much easier for us to then put ourselves into that story. Because oftentimes we feel kind of insignificant. Oftentimes we don't feel like we're like the ones that deserve the coming of God. Oftentimes we don't think that we matter in this world. But our stories in Scripture tell us that we do, because of people like Mary. People that, until we actually read about the visit of the angel, we didn't really know who Mary was. But what we can learn is what Mary did. I'm a fan of Mary because of this story that I'm about to tell you. You see, Mary was just sitting around. We don't know what she was doing. She could have been baking. She could have had a newspaper route. We have no idea. But Gabriel came and visited her and said that famous phrase, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If I ever get visited by an angel, I really hope that they say that to me. The one thing I don't want to hear is, you better be afraid. You know, I want to hear that calming voice, do not be afraid. And then he tells the story about the fact that Mary is going to give birth to the Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior, the one that's going to bring peace to the world, the one that's going to change the game from here on out, that Mary is going to play a significant role in this, and she's going to give birth to Jesus Christ. So now we know who Mary is. We know that Mary is the earth mother of Jesus. But at the time, again, put yourself in that role. First, you get, don't be afraid. Second, by the way, don't be afraid because you're actually going to be giving birth to the Savior, the King of all kings, the amazing grace. You're going to be that person that welcomes that person into the world as a baby. Wow. No wonder they start off with, don't be afraid. So what does Mary do with this? If it were me, I'm one of those worrying guys, I would have said, but, what? Wait a minute. First off, try to explain this a little bit better. Can I get out of this? Is there an escape clause out of this? If I commit to this, what's in it for me? Is this going to hurt? But Mary didn't do any of that. Mary actually praised God. Because remember, we're in a community of people. They're being bullied by Romans. They're being bullied by kings that are supposed to represent even their faith. They are people that are, again, they are a population of people that are insignificant to the rest of the world because they have been overtaken by what seems like the rest of the world. And so Mary's been one of those people that has been waiting and hoping and yearning for change, having no idea that she was actually going to play a pivotal part of that. I digress here just for a second. Have you ever had a good meal at a restaurant? Have you ever had a killer thing that you just love so much? Like for me, the thing that makes my heart swoo is mulligatawny soup. It's an Indian soup. It's at the oven. I don't mean to be in a restaurant here plugging another restaurant, but I would step on my own mother to get to the oven and eat mulligatawny soup anytime. And she would understand. She'd say, "Why are you stepping on me? Mulligatawny soup. Oh, I understand. Please get me a bowl." It's the greatest soup in the world. And the first thing that I do when I do that is I tell everybody about mulligatawny soup. I remember the first time I was actually working. I was a videographer working for a hospital. I used to make educational videos on how to follow like HIPAA laws and things like that. Oh, it was exciting stuff. And so when I tried this soup for the first time, I went to the oven for the first time downtown and had their soup and even brought it up a notch and had the bread. I'm telling you. Have you ever had mulligatawny soup? Has anyone had? You gotta go. This is like the greatest thing in the world. I mean, so the next day when I'm at work, I'm telling people about the mulligatawny soup. I'm working it into every conversation. You know, how was your weekend? Oh, I had the best thing. I had mulligatawny soup. Is this coffee fresh? No, but the mulligatawny soup was fresh. Could you get those papers done? I'll get them done as soon as I finish telling you about mulligatawny soup. It worked into every conversation. And some people actually, because I talked about it, went and were curious about it. You're curious about it, right? You're thinking you might actually go and get mulligatawny soup. And if not, I'm going to be questioning you. So the thing that was significant about it, and the reason why I shared it, is because it was something that I enjoyed. It was something that actually brought me joy. And the first thing that I wanted to do with that joy is share that joy with somebody else. And the first thing that I wanted to do is take what I thought was just the most amazing thing and give other people a chance to have that amazing thing. I didn't eat that soup and say, there must be a shortage of this because it's so good. I can't tell anybody about this. I'm going to camp out at the oven, and I'm never going to tell anybody. You looking at me? You looking at me? You want my soup, don't you? Get out of here. Get out of here. No. I want to tell you about the soup. I want to tell you about the soup. And we do that a lot, don't we? When we experience something that we really enjoy, whether it's a restaurant or a movie or a really good show that we've seen, you know? I've shared music after seeing a great show. I've told everyone that they should go see a great movie because it touched me. I haven't been to a movie since E.T., but that was a really good movie. And I'm still telling people about that. There's a connection that we still have as human beings. As much as our social world gets to where we seem to be a little bit more isolated, and a little bit less about community, there's still something that we either get on text, we get on Facebook, we get on some sort of social media, we call somebody, but we want to share something that was really good. And that's what Mary did. Mary had this amazing thing happen to her. And she could have said, I don't really want to bring that up because people are going to think I'm a little bit goofy. Or they might think that I'm a Jesus freak now because I'm going to be giving birth to him. But I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. No, the first thing she did, you see, she had a relative. Some people, we think it was a cousin. Some people, we don't really know. The Bible just strictly says basically a relative named Elizabeth that was told in her old age that she too was going to give birth to a son named John. And that John was going to be the first person to jump out and tell people to get ready because the Messiah is coming soon. These two people had a miracle moment. Both of them told things that were going to happen. Both of them affected in their life a miracle of something that they did not think that they would be a part of because both of them felt quite insignificant. But they had this special moment. They had this moment that for both of them brought them great joy and brought them great hope. And just like that mulligatawny soup, the first thing that Mary did, according to Scripture. Did she isolate it? Did she say, I got to think about this. I'm going to need about 30 days to compress and to think about this. I need some alone time. I need some me time. This was a big thing. I now need some me time. No. It said the first thing that she did is she took off to meet Elizabeth. And when she got there, Elizabeth was showing and said, the baby just jumped in your presence. The baby just jumped. And they sat together and Now, this is where Trevor starts to try to think of what might be happening in that story. But I got to say, they had to sit down and say, isn't this amazing? Both of them were people that felt like they were nothing, and suddenly they were playing a part in a story that would be told, well, what is it, 2,000 years now? They shared that news with somebody else. There's something about when we experience something that touches our heart and makes us feel good about life in general, that it, if we actually tell somebody about that and share that with another person, it actually seems to make that joy even more joyful. There's something about the human spirit that when we feel good and we share that good feeling with another person, that good feeling actually continues to grow. We can actually strengthen what we feel as joy by merely telling somebody else about it. And we can connect with that other person and have them share the joy. I saw you when I mentioned mulligatawny soup. We shared something there. We shared an actual moment there. We connected. I don't know where you had the mulligatawny soup. I don't know exactly the details of it, but we knew that we both liked it. There's a connection there. I don't know what your politics are. I don't care what your politics are. I know you like mulligatawny soup. You can't be all that bad. When we share that bond with each other, that's what keeps us a community. That's what keeps us as neighbors. Our mission statement is to love God. Mary loved God. Something happened with that experience, and she felt the joy and the peace of God. She loved herself. She said, generations are going to call me blessed. Not in a cocky way, like people are going to praise me. It was a thing of people are going to see just how amazing this is, and it happened, and I get to be a part of it. And she felt good about herself. And then she goes to her neighbor, Elizabeth, and she shares with her neighbor the amazing thing that happened to her. That story right there is the formula of our church. All we have to do is look at Scripture to see exactly what our mission here is. We can get caught up into stuff because you know what? If I didn't like that mulligatawny soup, if the wait staff was terrible, I also have the habit of going to somebody and saying, worst experience of my life. You want to know pain? I had mulligatawny soup and it was cold. The wait staff, they kept giving me the stink eye. Everybody stinks. And we can share that too. And we have the power to, if I share that with you and say, I hate the world. Don't you hate the world? And then suddenly we're over here talking about negativity. And then we're saying, oh, and that guy right over there, he's the worst, isn't he? He's the absolute worst. Yes, it's the non-bearded people in this world. That's what it is. Yes, and the hairless. Well, you got some hair going. We have the power to either turn something and feed it positively or feed it negatively. It's all in what we do with our actions there. Mary could have easily taken that story and to her friends and saying, what a burden I have to carry. And we can have an ability to actually get together with our neighbor and make everybody in that situation feel either angry, depressed, scared, or we have the ability to get with our neighbor and share something so joyful and so loving that we can feed that and we can watch that actually grow. When you throw a stone in a pond, it causes a ripple effect. Every one of us is a stone that we throw in. And what we do with that, if it's positive or negative, will have a ripple effect. If you have something in your heart that is making you feel good, share it. If you have a moment in your life that is making you feel good, tell somebody about it. And I'm praying that that moment can be Jesus Christ. I'm praying that that moment can actually be a thing where we actually share our spirit with somebody else. Because in the big scheme of things, if somebody's really feeling lonely, if somebody's really feeling like the world is against them, if somebody is really feeling like they need hope, mulligatawny soup's not really going to take care of that for them. But I do know that God will. Share that joy. Share that joy. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do live in a world today that our options of feeling terrible and scared and paranoid and worried and sad and critical and judgmental, the options there are plentiful. But remind us that so are the options of spreading love and grace and forgiveness and welcoming. Lord, this church is more than just a church, it's a mission. It's a mission of actually sharing joy in the world and positivity and love and letting people know that they are loved and celebrated. That somebody like Mary, who we never even heard of, was somebody that played a big role in spreading that kingdom. Help us to remind ourselves that we also play a role in preparing the world for your grace, your amazing, amazing grace. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. I never wanted to be a pastor. I had other plans, but I never wanted to be hairless either. So God has ways of telling you what you're going to do in your life. But once I accepted Jesus Christ, and once I was really actually touched by Jesus Christ, moved by Jesus Christ, it was everything that I could to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Because it was something that brought me great joy. And it's something that actually made me feel, as insignificant as I am, somehow significant. And for the rest of my life, I want to tell the world that you matter and that you're special and that God loves you. Why are we afraid to tell people that? Why are we worried that that might cause an uncomfortable conversation to say, did you know that God loves you? You guys are part of something in our history of this church. We're just starting out. Very much like the first churches started out 2,000 years ago. They met in bars and had this nice sign too. But they met and they grew. Why did they grow? Because one person would tell another person, and another person would tell another person. We don't have great soup here, but we do have great grace here. I invite you to tell your friends and to come back and to continue to do this as we continue to grow and make a significant impact in our community, one that says, love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor.